I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the storehouse of God's bounty. The storehouse of God's bounty. Over the last couple of days, we've been talking about supply and demand, the supply chain. We've been talking about how in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, there was all this demand put on the people, a demand for righteousness and holiness, but the people could not keep it. They didn't have the supply or the ability within themselves to keep this standard that God had given them for their lives. But then the tables are turned. Jesus comes. And we see this flipping, this turning of the tables that happens in the new covenant, where now God is the one who supplies. We put our demands on him and he supplies. He supplies, he fills our righteousness. He supplies our righteousness and our holiness and the grace and the wisdom and the power. He supplies. But then we talked about there's a supply chain. God's supplying this, all of these amazing things on the inside of us. But then we have to go through a process. Think of it like a supply chain. There's some steps in the sequence to get it where we see the end product of it, where we see the fruit or the result of it out in our lives. And I was just thinking about these things. You know, in typical supply chains, you have storehouses. You have storehouses where the inventory or the products or whatever it may be is stored. Now, just reading in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we're going to read through the first part of the chapter today. It talks about the blessings that would come on the people for obedience. If they're in right standing with God, which in Christ we are righteous, we have right standing with God because of what Jesus did. The blessings for obedience. God would open the storehouse of his bounty for them. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I pretty much had no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing regular things, seeking after myself, but life wasn't going the way that I wanted to go. I was running my personal training gym business and was just constantly stressed and feeling overwhelmed. My business was very up and down, losing money some months. And I'm seeking for a better way. I'm traveling all over the country, seeking out the best health and fitness experts, trying to figure out how our bodies work so I can better help my own health, but also the health of our clients. But I'm not finding what I'm looking for. And I remember just going around the neighborhood with my wife, going for a walk and telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And then shortly after that, I came across this challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on the day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. And you keep going like that to the end of the month, and then you start back over again. Well, I've been doing this for a while, and God was starting to work on me, starting to renew my mind about some things. And then one day I came across this verse in Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment. I want to create manuals or lessons or teaching and training for every area of life that I can pass on one day. For areas like purpose and health and family and finances and time, all the different areas of life. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek God for this. And from that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to show up. He began to supply. He began to teach me and to train me. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important lesson that I would want to pass on is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to turn things around and change the trajectory of our life going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see God telling the people, don't forget me, don't forget your covenant with me. It helps us to abide in Christ so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice, to pull that into our mind and remembrance, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do to help us remember, that we can release our faith into. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember God didn't have to send Jesus. He didn't have to come. He could have left us on our own, doing life on our own, separated from him. But he chose the way of love. He loved us so much. He sent his one and only son, and Jesus was willing to come and go through all that he went through. He's rejected by his own people, betrayed by his own disciple. He's got all the weight and pressure of the cross on him in the garden, sweating drops of blood. He's spit on and whipped and beat and mocked and ridiculed, nailed to the cross, crown of thorns on his head. And the worst part of all, I believe, he's separated from God. He felt what it was like to be separated from God, to have the cup of God's wrath poured onto his body. He was destroyed by God. The body of his temple, the temple of his body was destroyed. You actually see, if you keep reading in Deuteronomy chapter 28, past where we're going to go today, you'll see one of the curses of the law, which it says in Galatians chapter 3, that Jesus became a curse for us so that we could have the blessing given to Abraham. One of the curses of the law was that the people would be destroyed. Jesus was destroyed for us so that we could thrive. God could open the storehouse of his bounty in our lives. But then on the other side of the cross, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. He supplies his righteousness and his holiness, the perfection and completeness of him and what he did. We can have this covenant relationship with God now. We can be forever connected back to God. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is a physical expression of exercising our faith. It teaches us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us by you, that he was destroyed by you, so that you could fight for us, you could be for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hands on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? And remember, masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. And how are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected to the master. Because our relationship with God has got to be brought down into today to impact the things that we do, the things that we think about, the decisions that we make, the things that we speak. It's got to impact every area of our life. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, he who would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven would humble themselves like this little child. Just simple, childlike faith and humility, humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget to forgive ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long. And positioning is a big deal. It's very important because when we're in position, it puts us in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. We've been talking about God is supplying. He's taken everything that he has and he gave it all to Jesus. He put it all in Christ because he was worthy. He was deserving of it. And we get this amazing opportunity that we get to be in him today. So in him today, there is this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, his purpose and kingdom. You name it, it's all in there. And it's sufficient. It's more than enough supply to meet whatever demands are coming at us today. And we have to learn how to receive this and get this supply chain functioning in our life where we begin to see the fruit of this out in the world. So our first step is to get in position to receive it. Our second step is we're going to work on getting this flowing through us. We got to get it transported through us out into the world. And our second step is to magnify the light. We're going to make it bigger or greater, and it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's to magnify the light. It's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. You've probably had some example where you had some issue or problem, and the more you toiled away, the more you tried to figure it out, the more you talked about it, the more you thought about it, the more confused you became. The problem actually grew bigger on the inside of you. The problem was magnified. Well, that same principle works in the opposite direction. We can begin to magnify the light. He's going to begin to expand on the inside of us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart. It's going to give us hearts that understand God's grace and make us more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We can stay focused on all the things that are going well and looking back at how far God has already brought us. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. Rather than toiling away, trying to solve all those problems and issues in our own mind, we're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. We're going to cast our cares over onto him. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those issues and problems. We're going to rest and we're going to trust in him. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, magnifying the ways people have wronged us, magnifying the size of the problems, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, it's going to produce some symptoms in our life. Might be the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do because someone did something to us that we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like it's never going to turn around. It's never going to get better. It's always going to be this way. Might feel trapped or you're stuck. Low energy is another big symptom of this. You start meditating on these things, it's like it just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. There's toiling away in our mind. There's dread of the future as we're envisioning all these worst case scenarios and playing all these different scenarios that will probably never happen. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. Your faith and your courage and your confidence begin to rise up, and you feel his spirit and power and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom all begin to flow. And he begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. Beautiful solutions, I like to say, are ones that we could never make happen on our own, ones that we could never think of on our own. They begin to just truly set us free. It's this beautiful, perfect solution that comes at the right time, but the hardest part sometimes is waiting for that beautiful solution to arrive, because we want it faster sometimes. When we're in the light, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. We just simply trust in him. If all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace, that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us. It tries to knock us out of position, tries to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get off track. And if we do, it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and to turn it back around. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, I've missed it. Forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, we take those steps. Then we start praising and magnifying him. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You pray that simple prayer, you'll feel the weight lift off you, the pressure will lift off you. You feel his peace and his joy and his love just begin to flow through you again. And then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us, but we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe one sentence that we just keep rewriting over and over again at the top of our journal. And they serve as a filter to guide our decision-making and navigate us throughout the day. And what is it? What are these filters? We're installing God's standard, his way of doing things into our life. It's making a commitment to a new standard. For example, you might write something like this: God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And then when something comes your way and you're tempted to get stressed or worried or whatever, maybe you got that reminder, wait a minute, God's working for me behind the scenes. I can't see him working always, but I know he's working behind the scenes. When someone does something to push your buttons or get under your skin and you're tempted to snap at them or retaliate at them or whatever it may be, you've got that reminder, wait a minute, God doesn't do that to me. He gives me grace. I'm going to do continually good for this person just like God's doing for me. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question: God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned into him as we go throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down. Take a couple of deep breaths. Get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get recharged. You're going to get powered up again in him. And the beautiful thing is it only takes 1 to 2 minutes. And then the final thing I've learned to do, and this is our fourth fundamental, is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen, trying to create my own solutions to things, rather than resting and trusting in God and waiting for his beautiful solutions to show up. And I'm getting out ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind God because I'm procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. We write out the plan and then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. As I began to learn this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? And I felt like he was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. What's the first thing we see God speak in the entire Bible? Let there be light. So I wake up first thing in the morning, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Then we get connected with him and his word, start praising and magnifying him. And then we start walking out that plan together with him today in full confidence in him. Just that simple childlike faith. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. His supply is always more than enough for every demand that's coming our way. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our life. So let's take a look at this scripture today. Just for some context, we're talking about the storehouse of God's bounty. We're going to read a couple paragraphs coming from Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a great chapter to study. You've got two sides of this chapter. You got one part of this chapter is the blessings for obedience. So for people that are in right standing with God, which remember, Jesus was destroyed for us. He became a curse for us so that we could have God's blessing. This is showing us what God would do for us if we have his blessing on our lives. The second half of Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about the curses for disobedience. The ultimate finality of it all, it's some pretty terrible stuff on that list, is that the people would ultimately be destroyed. Jesus was destroyed for us. He became a curse for us. So we're going to read through this, and then we're going to talk about the storehouse of God's bounty. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They'll come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land that he swore to your ancestors to give you. There's our verse for today here. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You'll lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top. Always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands that I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this passage of scripture. That Jesus was destroyed. He became a curse. He was destroyed so that we could have your blessing and favor on our lives. And I feel like what you're prompting us today is that we're asking for you to open the heavens, the storehouse of your bounty for us today. And to teach us more about that. Give us wisdom and insight and understanding of what that means for us. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's just take a moment to remember. You know, God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us all on our own. He and Jesus chose the way of love. They chose to do good for us, even though we didn't deserve it. He's rejected by his own people, betrayed by his disciple, whipped and beaten, spit on, mocked and ridiculed, crown of thorns on his head, nailed to the cross, pierced on his side. He's separated from God, and the cup of God's wrath was poured onto his body until the point where he was destroyed. Jesus says, "Destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days," talking about his body. He was destroyed. But then on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He supplies, he makes us right. Righteous and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. He supplies that, not our own doing. Allows us to be children of God. connects us back to him. We can have this personal relationship with God, this new covenant with him, where God is with us and he's for us. So Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He released us from darkness. He transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We can have this personal relationship with him, this covenant with him. And I believe as you experience this, God opening the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty in our lives. What's it going to do? It's going to help us to know him that much more, to know his grace and his love and his goodness that much more. Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Just thinking right now, when Jesus gets into Peter's boat, he tells Peter to drop down his nets, and Peter catches this catch of fish that is just more than he has ever seen before. The storehouse of his bounty, the supply was more than enough. Peter just drops on his knees and says, "I'm a sinful man." He just knew the grace and the goodness of God that much more. Father, we thank you for this cup, and I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. As I was thinking about these verses today, open the heavens, opening. In our health and fitness, let's get our bodies open. On the daily communion workouts that we have. If you don't have the workouts, you can get if you get on our email list at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, these daily communion meditation emails have a workout that's attached with them. One of the things we focus on, let's get mobility. Let's get our bodies moving well. Get our bodies opened up and mobile. Let's put some emphasis. We like to start every workout with mobility. And then I like to do some stretching every night before bed. Just going through a simple stretching routine every night before bed. And what I'm doing lately, it's just a very simple routine, working on the splits in each direction, getting more flexible in those, and then just stretching on around all around the shoulders in every direction. And that simple routine does so much just to open our bodies up. Let's get our bodies open today. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.